From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message titled, The Root of Failure and the Key to Victory. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The trial of your faith. Faith untried may be true faith, but it is sure to be little faith, and it is likely to remain dwarfish so long as it is without trials. Faith never prospers so well as when all things are against her. Tempests are her trainers, and lightnings are her illuminators. When a calm reigns on the sea, spread the sails as you will, the ship moves not to its harbor. For on a slumbering ocean the keel sleeps too. Let the winds rush howling forth, and let the waters lift up themselves. Then, though the vessel may rock, and her deck may be washed with waves, and her mast may creak under the pressure of the full and swelling sail, it is then that she makes headway towards her desired haven. No flowers wear so lovely a blue as those which grow at the foot of the frozen glacier. No stars gleam so brightly as those which glisten in the polar sky. No water tastes so sweet as that which springs amid the desert sand. And no faith is so precious as that which lives and triumphs in adversity. Tried faith brings experience. You could not have believed your own weakness had you not been compelled to pass through the rivers, and you would have never known God's strength had you not been supported amid the water floods. Faith increases in solidity, assurance, and intensity the more it is exercised with tribulation. Faith is precious, and its trial is precious too. Let not this, however, discourage those who are young in faith. You will have trials enough without seeking them. The full portion will be measured out to you in due season. Meanwhile, if you cannot yet claim the result of long experience, thank God for what grace you have. Praise Him for that degree of holy confidence whereunto you have attained. Walk according to that rule, and you shall have yet more and more of the blessing of God, till your faith shall remove mountains and conquer impossibilities.
Lord, as I seek your guidance for the day, I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through, your promises are ever new, I claim them for today. Protect me, I rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over me, your love will forgive me. forgive me, and when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Each new day's design is charted by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful when from you I go. Return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow. Your will cannot lead me where your grace will not keep me. Your hand will protect me. I rest in your care. Your eyes will and when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding "A To Think About" section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel had just enjoyed a remarkable victory over the city of Jericho. Yet in the very next chapter, we find the very same army suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Shocked by this turn of events, Joshua cried out to God as to the reason. The Lord gave him a terse answer: "There is sin in the camp." As we have been seeing in the course of this message, the Christian's attitude towards sin is the key either to victory or to defeat. And the sin spoken of here was not just the occasional transgression. It is gross, deliberate, and persistent sin which grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Achan's sin included many aspects, such as sacrilege, contamination by the unclean thing, and hypocrisy. He was guilty of carnal lust, unbelief, and stubborn impenitence. The presence of unconfessed sin renders a believer powerless against God's enemies. In Achan's case, sin brought ruin upon himself and upon his family. Now, to continue this message, the root of failure and the key to victory, here is Dr. Cairns.
It was carnal lust. That was one of his great failures. Carnal lust was in his sin. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. There it was. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, always brings forth death. It's a chain of events that neither you nor I can ever interrupt. Then there was unbelief. He obviously didn't believe that God would provide. He looked at this as if it were the only chance in his life he would ever have to look after himself and his family. Money at any cost. I heard a woman on the radio the other day, and she was competing for a lottery ticket. Now, the lottery has just legalized gambling, and the lottery is the door to hell to millions. The man asked her, "Well, if you win this lottery ticket and it wins the lottery, what's the first thing you want to do to it?" She says, "Well, my town needs a new church. And I would build a new church out of the $28 million I would hope to win." People have the most skewed ideas when it comes to being able to lay hold on gain. I have known Christians to become the most twisted, the most lying. In fact, at times even criminal, to be able to lay their hands on quick money. What is that? Well, it's all that I've said so far, but it is unbelief in God's promise to provide. When you stop to think of this, in the very next chapter, the Lord told the armies of Israel that the spoil of Ai, the cattle thereof, you'll take for a prey unto yourselves. And that was just the beginning. There was a rich fullness for Achan. But he didn't believe it. It was for the here and now. He didn't believe that God really could see him. I believe that that is something that lies at the heart of much of the wickedness that professing Christians indulge in. If we really believed what Hagar said, "Thou, God, seest me." If we really believed that. If we really believe that all things are open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, that there is nothing hid from our God, then we would recognize there's no such thing as secret sin. There's no such thing as secret sin. Maybe secret as far as the world's concerned, or as far as the church is concerned, but it's emblazoned in letters of fire before the eyes of God Almighty. But Achan obviously didn't believe it as long as others couldn't see it. It was hidden. Of course, he did not believe that God would judge. What a sin this was. I'll not take the time to follow its anatomy much further. It was an abandonment of duty. While he was collecting gold, he should have been fighting the enemy. He wasn't doing it. It was a corruption of his whole family. And oh, here's one of the most serious and solemn things for any man or woman to consider. We do not live unto ourselves. And the children that God has given you, they're there for you to raise. Those children are influenced by what you are, much more than by what you say. I have known people whose saying was all very good, but what they were was in total contravention to what they were talking about. How they really were was a contradiction of what they professed. And all the holy talk was only exacerbating the evil effect that what they were was having on their children. I have seen Christian parents wreck their children, ruin their children, damn their children. Corrupted them. Corrupted them. What are children to think about the Christianity of so many people who profess so much, but they live the opposite every chance they get? What are they to think of that? No eyes that can see through hypocrisy and the veil of appearance more readily than the eyes of a child. He corrupted his family. There was a stubborn impenitence. Can you see him as the word has gone out? The search is on. Does he come forward? No, he waits until the tribes come out. And as usual, the tribe of Judah is taken first. And they go through the various families of the tribe of Judah until they come to his clan. And then they break up that clan into the various smaller families. And then they take each family man by man. And through all that, he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Stubborn impenitence and a reckless unconcern for the effects of his sin upon the whole body of the people of God. A reckless unconcern about what this did to the name of Jehovah in the land. Do you realize that from that point on, every other city in the promised land had a hope of defeating the children of Israel? From that point on, they could always say, well, the men of Ai did it once. We're bigger, we're stronger, we're better prepared. There's a hope for us. This was something that cost dearly in the long run as well as the short. He had no concern for the good of the whole work. So the text is dealing with gross sin. When you apply this to yourself, or I apply it to myself, it may be the love of the world. It may be some of what Paul deals with in Galatians chapter 5, when in verse 19 he speaks of the works of the flesh. I think it's a shame in many ways that such things have to be faced in the church of Jesus Christ. But Paul mentions adultery. Fornication is a big word. It is not nearly so limited as that word appears in an English dictionary. The Greek word is the word that gives us the word pornography. It is moral perversion, moral turpitude, moral depravity, moral wickedness. It takes in various forms of moral wickedness, but it is that pornographic filth. Does Paul mention that among Christians? Yes, he does. The works of the flesh. Uncleanness. Very often that's a word that's connected with sodomy. Is that among Christians? Professing Christians? Oh, yes. Let me tell you, I believe that homosexuals can be saved, and I believe that God can save them from their sin as He does with a drug addict or with a drunkard or with a liar or with a thief or with any other sinner. But there is a great movement abroad in the church today that says you've got to accept these moral perverts as they are, perversion and all. And though they remain perverted, they must be fully integrated into the church and into the work and the witness of the church, even though they are still perverts. Some of you may have seen or heard the news item that the famous Roe is now a Christian. From the Roe versus Wade decision, she's now a Christian. She'd been baptized by the leader in Dallas of Operation Rescue. And she is now not any longer pro-abortion. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it. I listened to her say, abortion's still all right. And the woman still has the right, mark you, to do this in her first trimester. And she backed off from calling the unborn infant in that period a child. She is still a lesbian. She still has her lesbian so-called lover. But still living in a lesbian lifestyle for all the cameras of America to be there to see. You have a man professing to be a Christian minister, baptizing her into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, that is blasphemy. I hope she's saved. I hope that God delivers her. But I want to tell you that uncleanness is not to be crowned in the Christian church. It is a curse that God is against. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Still in verse 19. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Use of magical symbols, magical incantations, and especially in connection with experimentation with drugs. It's all in the word that's translated witchcraft. Is that in the church today? But then it goes on. Hatred. Now hold a second. Do you not see that There is a vast difference in tone here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now hatred, one Christian bearing a hatred against a brother. Variance. Emulations, jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions. Then he gets on to heresies and envyings and murders and drunkenness and reveling and such like. But I want you to see this. It's very, very easy in a church to sit back and say, well, I'm not in drugs, I'm not in drink, I'm not in pornography, I'm not in these great unclean things, I'm not this, I'm not that. But the variance and the emulation and the jealousy and the envy and the hatred and the backbiting, God puts them all together as works of the flesh, things that His soul hates. Oh, let's understand this. We're dealing with sin here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.